How many of you know the Lord is worthy, and there's no one like our King and our Deliverer. There's no one like the one who rescued you from your trials and your tribulation. Your mama can't do what Jesus did. Your daddy can't do what Jesus did. The preacher can't do what Jesus did. The deacon and the deaconess can't do what Jesus did. Somebody needs to worship him tonight and say it with the choir. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. There's no one like you. No one. He's the only one. He reached way down and brought you out of your muck and your mire. Come on, choir. Say it louder. There's no one. Thank you, God. Ah, come on, Deborah. Thank you, Lord.
No one like you, Lord.
No one.
No one like you, Lord.
Lift up your voice.
No one like you, Lord.
Forget about everybody else around
no
you. And just say, no one like you,
no
Lord.
No one like you.
Bless your name,
no
God.
No one like you.
Bless your name,
no
God.
No one like you, Lord.
Ah.
No one.
Thank you, Lord. It's all right to worship him. Magnify him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you right now, asking now that as we go into your preached word, that you will continue to minister to your people. That you would take some of us, Lord, who've been through the storm and the rain in 2015. And yet we sit here tonight with glorious praise on our lips, Lord, simply to say that there's nobody like you, God. We thank you, Lord. Have your way now. Those who are listening on this radio broadcast, God, I pray that not only will you bless those inside the sanctuary, but that you would move into living rooms, into bedrooms, and into hearts and into minds of everyone under the sound of my voice. Speak a word into your people. Let the anointing of the Most High God fall fresh in this place. Illuminate our minds. Encourage our hearts. Convict our souls. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over everyone. Have your way, God. Let the anointing break the yoke that may bind somebody tonight. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray it. Let the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen,
amen,
amen, and amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering. There's no one like you, Lord. No one like you, Lord. No one like you, Lord. God bless you. Again, we want to welcome those of you who are listening on our radio broadcast, 1300 AM WIMG. We thank the Lord for you and want to give a particular thank you to Deacon Charlie Jeter, who every year misses being in fellowship in the church to be the only one on South Broad Street to help facilitate this broadcast tonight. You've got a praise offering for our brother. He sacrifices a lot. Charlie, I know you're listening. Bless you, my friend. We appreciate your sacrifice of love. And to so many others, I talked to Deaconess Staden on the way here, and she said she's going to turn on the radio and listen. Deaconess Staden, we're praying for you. And thinking about Deacon Burroughs and so many others of our members who have gone through, been through, and some of us haven't even yet been through it. But we know that God is able. I want to move now and direct your attention back again to this 15th chapter of the book of Exodus. And for those of you who, again, are joining us, we have entitled this sermon, Somebody Pass the Sugar. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. And if it's not readily apparent, let me make sure that it is as apparent and glaringly obvious about what this title and what this sermon is about. The Bible says in verse number 25 in Exodus chapter 15, that the Lord, Moses, I should say, cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when Moses had cast that tree into the bitter waters of Marah, the bitter waters became sweet. Moses' very name, actually in Hebrew, is believed to have relationship to water. Because Moshe, or Moses, if you would, means to be drawn out of, pulled out of, and some would say pulled out of water. You cannot think about Moses, the great liberator of God's people, without linking his name and his spiritual journey to water. For it is in the River Nile that his mama set him afloat, because she could not care for him and thought and took a chance that instead of my son dying at the hands of the Egyptians, I'm going to put him in the hands of God and set him afloat down the River Nile. And God tucked and guarded and steered his little craft of weeds and tar that kept it afloat, steered his little craft away from crocodiles and other things that would seek to destroy Moses as he was floating down the River Nile. And so his very early stages of life, it was a journey on the water. And then later on in his ministry, we know that his biggest relationship with water is when he came to the shores of the Red Sea. Some would say the Reed Sea, and others would say the Red Sea. And yet what was clear was that there was a body of water that stood in front of Moses and the people of Israel as they were on their way to the Promised Land. And the Bible gives this climactic, dramatic experience where there were mountains on either side of Moses, couldn't turn to the right, couldn't turn to the left, couldn't go back because Pharaoh's armies were pursuing him. And there was the body of water. And God simply said, Moses, stretch out your hand. And if you have faith, I'll part the sea in front of you. And how many of you know there's going to be some moments in your life where you can't go backwards and you can't go to the right and you can't go to the left, and you're just going to have to press your way through and trust that God is able to make a way out of no way. Do I have any witnesses here tonight where God has given you a Red Sea experience? Moses is... third experience and fourth experience with water is found in these similar passages in Exodus and in Numbers, where the Bible says that they were in the wilderness and they were thirsty. And the Bible says that Moses was instructed to hit the rock in one situation. And then another situation, he was instructed to speak to the rock. And it is that very experience in which Moses was told to speak to the rock as opposed to hit the rock. Water still came out of the rock, but Moses made the people think that it was his ability to strike the rock that brought the water out. I need someone to know that when God brings water out of the most unlikeliest of places, man didn't do it, God did it all by God's self. And yet, it is that very moment in which Moses, it is believed, violated the very essence of what the Bible says, that I am the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt have no other God before me. That includes even ourselves. And so it is believed that Moses didn't even make it into the Promised Land because of this encounter with water that came out of the rock. But
just in this text, sandwiched between the Red Sea experience and that experience of speaking and striking the rock, the Bible gives this unique story of the post-Red Sea crossing, in which Moses is dancing with his sister and his brother Aaron on the other side of the shores of the Red Sea. And the Bible says that after he had come through and guided the people over the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was crushed and drowned by the walls of water, that God collapsed upon Pharaoh's army. And the Bible says Moses and the people were celebrating right after that experience. God, whenever he brings you over your Red Sea experience, you better take a moment just to give him a little bit of praise and a little bit of thanksgiving, because some of us have had some Red Sea experiences in 2015. And I don't know what your Red Sea experience was, but it was improbable, darn well near impossible for you to have crossed over, but somehow you made it. Let me say that again. Somehow you made it. Let me say it to the folk over here. Somehow you made it. And because you made it, whenever you get on the other side of the Red Sea, you gotta take a moment and to give God some glory and to give God some praise. So do I have anybody here just for a few seconds that don't mind praising God on the other side of the Red Sea? I said the other side of the Red Sea. You can do better than that. God deserves praise and worship for the miraculous things that he has done. Moses did the right thing, led the people in praise. Miriam joined in, led the people in praise. But then right after that, the Bible says that they were led back into the wilderness. And in verse 22, it starts off with, and there was no water in the wilderness. Get the juxtaposition and the irony. They just came through walls of water, but now they're in the wilderness and there is no water. And I just stopped by to tell someone that, yes, you have made it through 2015. And if God prepares our lives over the next 45 minutes, we'll make it into 2016. But I need you to know that for every Red Sea you've been through, you might be preparing to go through another wilderness in which you're going to find there is no water. And God is waiting to see how you're going to praise them when you can't find water readily accessible. The Bible says, I want to leave these three words in your spirit: thirst, tree, and triumph. The Bible says there was no water in verse 22. They were thirsty. And I need someone to, I want to dwell in the tension of what it means to be thirsty. Because sometimes the wilderness will be an experience in which we are finding a lack of resources. And so some of us are at the end of 2015, as much as you are giving God praise, you're finding yourself thirsty because now you're looking for some other blessing. He's blessed you to get this far, but now you're looking for another blessing, and it is not readily apparent where the blessing is, and you are finding yourself parched and thirsty, wondering where the blessing is going to come from. Preacher, what do you mean? Well, some of y'all got laid off in 2015. And at the end of 2015, you are thankful that God gave you, made your ends meet. You may have had to rob Peter to pay Paul, but look at you, you made it. But you've been sending out applications, trying to get interviews. Nobody is hiring. They're saying you're overqualified, underqualified. On one hand, you got too many degrees. In another case, you have enough degrees. And so there's a thirst
in the land. Some of you are searching for relationships, looking for love in all the wrong places and all the wrong faces. And I just want to let you know, if you're not satisfied with God in yourself, another man or another woman is not going to make you happy and is not going to satisfy you. But some of us are thirsty for something and somebody that we don't yet have. And God is trying to say, when you don't have it, when you can see it, I need you to understand that I'm everything you need until you get it. And until you get it, keep holding on to me. So now your thirst has to transition from parchment and lack of water to understanding that you got to be vigilant and determined. You ever heard somebody who was thirsty? An athlete who's thirsty to get the championship. A dancer who's thirsty to make it into Juilliard. Somebody on the job who's thirsty for the promotion. I need you to understand that when you are thirsty, turn that thing around and keep pursuing God with a reckless abandon until you get what you're thirsty for. Keep holding on to God and know that God is where is the resource that you need that satisfies your thirst. A lot of us are thinking people are going to satisfy our thirst. Things are going to satisfy our thirst. But God is saying to you, I can satisfy your thirst. Nothing is going to satisfy you. So the people were there in the wilderness thirsty. And here's the part I like. The Bible says that they came to some wells in a place called Marah. And the water, after you've been thirsty, you've come up on some water. But the Bible, in the irony of ironies, says that the water was bitter. And it was unable to drink it. And there you've got to ask God, God, why are you playing a cruel trick on me? I've been asking for water, but when I get it, I can't drink it because it's not drinkable. Somebody should have had a hallelujah moment right there. Because some of y'all are wanting something in somebody's, and God has said, okay, I'm going to give it to you, but it's going to be bitter, and it's not going to be what you need. It's not going to be what you want. It's not going to be what, and I've come to a point, Lord, before I ask you to give me what I want, I'm asking you to give me what I need. Because everything I want isn't good for me. Can I get a witness? Can I get an amen? But if God gives you what you need, God brought them upon bitter water. I need to dwell here, but it's just for a few seconds. Because the word Marah means bitter. And so this question of God, why would you bring me out here and get some bitter water? I'm thirsty and you give me some bitter water. Some of y'all need to think about that for a moment. Because you thought the breakthrough had happened, but you tasted the water and it was bitter. Wasn't what you thought it was. And God is saying to you, I need you to keep trusting in me. I know it tastes bitter. I know it may even look bitter. But listen, I can do something about the bitterness of your situation. Come on, somebody. Bible says the people started complaining. Why did you bring us up here out of Egypt? You know we're thirsty and you bring us to some bitter water. Yeah, the irony of it all is God just brought you through a Red Sea experience and you got spiritual amnesia to not give God enough credit to say if he brought me through that, he'll bring me through this. But some of us have the same problem. We forget yesterday what the Lord had done for us, and we get to the bitter waters of Marah and we start complaining against God. But all you got to do is look back at your Red Sea and know what God can do. The Bible says that Moses
Moses himself begun to cry out. Here's what I need some of you all to heed from Moses. That when you have come to waters that are bitter, I need you to keep crying out to the Lord. You're going to come upon some bitter experiences in your life. You're going to have some friends that used to be sweet, but now they're bitter. You're going to have some family members that used to be able to call on them, but now they're bitter. You're going to have some experiences on your job where things were going all right, but as God began to promote you, some folk around you are going to turn bitter. And I need you to understand that when the waters of life turn bitter, the job situation turns bitter, the health situation turns bitter, the ministry situation turns bitter, I need you to know that God has a remedy for the bitterness up in your situation. Let me be very clear. We all will come upon some bitter waters. And what's bitter for me may not be bitter for you. And I want to get you to a point where you thank God for what you've been through in 2015. But I want to get you ready for 2016. Because even though I know I serve a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ever could imagine, He also did not say that I would not have. Or He also said I would have some trials and some tribulations. And I need someone to get into the level of maturity to understand when I come across some bitter water in my spiritual life, God has not given up on me. I need to hold on. Here's the part I love about this text. The Bible says when people were complaining, he was wondering, didn't know what to do. God said to him, look around you, Moses. See that tree over there? I need you to take that tree, and I need you to take the tree and pick it up over your head, and as best you can, I need you to take the tree that's over here and start carrying it to where your bitter situation is. And the closer you get to the waters of Marah, I need you to get that tree and pick it up over your head, Moses. And when I tell you to, throw the tree in the water, and the water will become sweet. You didn't get the message, are you? God has a way of using what's around you. God has a way of taking rams in the bush where you didn't even know where your blessing was going to come from. God has a way of straightening out crooked places, smoothing over rough places. God has a way of taking your bitter waters. If you're willing to work with God, take that tree, pick it up over your head, toss it in the water, and let God have a chemical reaction and turn your bitter waters into sweetness. Here's what I want to say. As you go into 2016, understand something. That the tree may be around you, but in many cases, the tree might be inside of you. I need someone to listen to me now. Because in the midst of your bitterness, you've got something inside of you that can turn your bitter waters into sweetness. Come on, somebody. I want you to tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, pass the sugar. Because I'm about to turn my bitter waters into something that God is about to work out. Pass the sugar. Because if nobody else gonna smile, I'm gonna smile. Pass the sugar. If nobody else praises God, I'm gonna praise Him. Pass the sugar. If nobody else says I've got something to shout about, you go ahead and be the sugar to straighten out your bitter waters. Pass the sugar. Pass the sugar. You can be the tree that God wants to throw into the bitter water. What are you talking about, preacher? Instead of joining into pity parties in 2016, you go ahead and be the sugar to straighten out that pity party. Instead of joining into parking lot conversations in 2016, you go ahead and be the sugar to sweeten up that conversation. You're not getting the message, are you? Instead of giving air to the devil, you be the sugar in 2016 to help straighten out those doubters and those haters. Go ahead and let them be bitter. But God's got some sweetener around. And I want every single one of us to consider this proposition. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, God says, you are the salt and you are the light. I want to add, if I can, that you're also the sugar that can sweeten some messed up bitter. Does anybody know bitter people? Got a frown on their face, got their hands folded, no joy in their spirit. But don't let the bitter people get you. You go ahead and sweeten up the pot, and you change the bitter folk, and you be the sugar that God wants to throw into the waters of Marah. You're going to have some Marahs in 2016. But you be that tree that God wants to use to sweeten up that situation. As I go to my seat, I've talked to you about thirst, tree, and I want to end with triumph. Look at verse number 27 in the text. Put it up on the screen. Verse 27 says, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. I put it in red so you can get the emphasis that once you've gotten through your parched situation, once you've gotten through your thirsty situation, once you've gotten through your doubters and your haters, and you've been the agent to sweeten up the situation, God will give you triumph, and God will give you multitude. God will give you plenty. So in a situation where they didn't have no water, I want you to see at the end of the situation, they not only had one well, but they had 12 wells. They had not just one palm tree, but they had 70 palm trees. Can anybody here look back over their situation and say, I remember when I didn't have one, but now I got plenty? Can anybody look back over their situation and say, I was struggling to pay Peter, to pay Paul, but now I've got a blessing that God opened the storehouse of heaven and pulled me out blessings. I don't have room to receive it. Press down, shaking together, and running over. I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I will tell you this. In moments when you didn't know where your blessing was coming from, if you be the sweetener that God wants you to be, I believe that in due season and in due time, God will open that blessing house and bless you in ways that you could not even imagine. And I don't want you to think the blessings are just financial. The blessings are spiritual. When I can wake up in the morning and I've got joy, unspeakable joy, that's God giving me 12 wells and 70 palm trees. When I can look up in the morning, lift up my hands and say hallelujah, that's God giving me 12 wells and 70 palm trees. When I can wake up in the morning and I've got peace in my spirit, that's God giving me 12 wells and 70 palm trees. God will multiply the blessings
that he wants you to have. And so, beloved of God, as you go into 2016, I want you to understand that God wants you to be. And I said to someone about this, I was preaching, I was talking about it. I said, you know, now we've got so many types of sugar. We've got equal. We've got raw brown sugar. We've got cane sugar. We've got all these different. Listen, you don't have to be the same kind, but as long as the result is the same, that God gets the glory, the devil is put on the defense, and you trying to sweeten up the pot, God is always going to get the glory. So I want you to tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, I don't care what kind of sugar it is, I want you to open up your sugar, pour into the bitter waters, and let God get the glory. I need somebody to put your hands together and say, I'm going into 2016, and I'm going to sweeten up some better situations. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen.
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 And amen.
Amen.
Everybody standing to their feet. Everyone standing to their feet. Everyone standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, help me extend the invitation. God never said you're not going to have some bitter experiences. But my God, he can straighten out and sweeten up your bitter pots. I don't know who you are, where you've come from, but I want to say to you, God wants you, is seeking you. Don't miss the part in the text where Moses cried out to the Lord. Don't miss the part where he cried out to the Lord. This is a challenge to you for 2016. To cry out to the Lord. Cry out to him. If you are sincere in your cry to the Lord, God will answer your prayer. I believe that in the depth of my heart. So I want to invite someone today to give their life to Christ, to really consider the proposition of trusting God. And we believe through his son, Jesus Christ. If you're here, you want to join the church, we want to invite you to do that right now. Whomever you are, wherever you've come from. I don't care if you're black or white, red or brown. I don't care if you're gay, lesbian, straight, transgender. God is calling you in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God a praise offering. Bless you, young lady. Bless you.